Welcome, everybody. And kids, we love you. It's so fun to worship with you the first Sunday of every month. And so now it's time. Your kids' point staff is waiting for you. So kids, I think fourth graders on down, they're waiting for you outside. We're going to stay in here and have lots of ice cream and popcorn. And kids, no, that's not true. But you're going to study the God's Word as we're going to study God's Word. And so let's all celebrate a Sunday together. Well, welcome to another Sunday at Grace Point Church. This is officially the beginning of fall, although it's Labor Day weekend, three-day weekend. A lot of people are traveling, but we are so excited as a church and really as a staff. We've been praying and planning through the summer for this Sunday and as we launch into our many ministries a week from today. So this morning is going to be more of a fall vision Sunday. So I'm calling it Fall Insights from Four Guys. We'll take a look at four guys from the Old Testament. We're going to use their story to go ahead and help us prepare for our journey in the next 3 months. So the fall is September, October, November. Literally, we're already planning Christmas around here. But so we're excited for that, but we're really excited for this fall. I don't know about you. I think for my family, the fall is pretty much the busiest time of year. Falls are full. So much is going on, so many things, and there's even football on top of that, right? So there's a lot of stuff going on. I tried to think about a picture to grasp the emotion of moving into this season that we call fall, and here's what I came up with. It's kind of like a forest, where you're kind of ahead of the forest, and you're looking at it, like you're looking at the fall, and there's just a ton of trees out there. There's classes and new teachers for students, and there's new sports and new challenges that your boss is going to give you. And so the fall is all over the place. Here's the deal. At our church, there's a lot of trees coming your way, too. And we're going to give you a lot of trees this morning, a good look at the groups and the classes and the events and all that that are going to be coming your way in the next 3 months. And all that's going to start unfolding. But before we start getting in there and knocking down trees and climbing some trees and hiking through some trees, this morning I want the fall to have more of a forest perspective for you. So I want to get away from all the trees. I'm going to share with you all the stuff coming up. But I want to rise above it. And I want to give you kind of my larger passion for you. We're going to do a lot of stuff. And actually, busyness is not next to godliness, right? But you're going to be busy. I hope you're busy doing the right things. But before all that, what's the big picture? My big prayer for you is twofold. This was the prayer that I had this past summer. I want God to be larger in your eyes. Now again, He's already large and in charge. He is sovereign, omnipotent God. But how do you see God? There's a great book in my library by a guy named Phillips, and the title is Your God is Too Small. And if your God is too small, that means you have bigger problems that are bigger than you. So again, I want God to be seen large in your lives because He is large. There's another challenge that I have for you. I want you to be closer to this large God. It's not enough for God to be large. I want you to experience His closeness to you. And my challenge for you is that you would not just hope for that to be. I'd love to see God larger in my life. And I'd like to be closer to God in my life. That's not going to happen by accident. That's going to happen by positioning yourself and taking advantage of some opportunities this fall, young and old. This past summer, I did some camping trips with my family and a few others. And I asked the Lord through all the camping, because man, nature is just a way that I just really grasp the greatness of God. And there's I did some beach camping in Catalina with my family. And Psalms 93:4, more than the sound of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. And so when you're camping there and you're seeing all the waves, and you saw some waves this morning, That's a metaphor that David used in Psalm 93. It says, God, you're bigger because you're the wave maker. You've made all these more than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea. God, you're bigger than that. I want that for you. I want you to see God larger than the problems and pressures of your life. But here's the challenge for you. If you're going to go ahead and see God larger than the pressures and problems, you're going to have to get closer to God. And I learned some insights this summer, not only from the Bible, but from a buffalo. And back in Catalina, we met a buffalo. So we're out there at campsite number 10 in Two Harbors, Catalina. And we're looking up on top of this ridge. There's a buffalo. That's not something you see every day. And so we took a picture of it. And there's the buffalo on the ridge. So we saw the buffalo. And so a few of us, we walked over to the base of this ridge. And the buffalo turned and looked at us. Okay? And I realized I don't need to be faster than the buffalo. I just got to be faster than my kids, right? That's the way that works, right? And so I'm good. I think I can outrun these guys. And they're probably thinking, we're good. We're going to outrun that 54-year-old guy. So, you know, everyone's feeling pretty good. So we're staring at this buffalo on this ridge. And this buffalo starts turning towards us. And guess what the buffalo does? He starts walking down the ridge towards us. We're thinking we could run, but we don't need to do that. You live once, live large. Let's do this. So we stayed there. And so the buffalo made its way down. And before we took off, there's the buffalo. And this is not Photoshop, okay? And then I jumped on. No, I didn't jump on. I did touch it, though. I did touch it. But here's the deal with that. The more I risked being closer to this buffalo, the larger the buffalo looked to me. Now, did the buffalo change in size? No. The buffalo was just as large away on that ridge. It just looked smaller. But the closer I was to the buffalo, the larger I was able to see the buffalo for who that buffalo really was. That's what I want for you. But here's the deal. You're going to have to let the buffalo get closer to you so the size of the buffalo can be bigger than the problems and pressures of your life. This fall, again, we're going to take a look at a lot of trees, a lot of opportunities and all that kind of stuff. Big picture, by the end of November, I want your God to be large and close in your life. It's not going to happen by accident. It will not happen in a crowd this size for all of us. You know why? It's not about whether or not God's powerful, because He is. It's how we position our lives. If we position our lives and do what we are able to do, we're going to go ahead and experience the largeness and closeness of God. But if we don't position our lives, then you're going to miss the opportunities and God will pretty much be as small in your life as possibly He is right now. So how do we do that? Again, that's inspiration. Now let's go ahead and do some preparation. How can you, this fall, the next 3 months, how can you position yourself so that the buffalo, God Almighty, can be closer to you? What's your part in that? We're going to take a look at a story in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6 and 2 Kings chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, there's always Bibles in back. Strongly encourage you to look on with someone else's Bible. Don't take it from them. That would be rude. But look on. They have to share. This is church. I really want you to see this passage. This passage is one of the more obscure passages out there because actually it describes one of the most terrible tragedies, devastation experiences in all of the Bible. But in this story, these four lepers enter the story and become the heroes for the entire people of Israel. So that's where we're going to go. And in this story, we're going to find three decisions that these guys made that I'm going to use to, yes, challenge you to make some decisions so that you can maximize this fall. Again, we got students here. We got all kinds of people here. I love how if it's a biblical principle, therefore it's transferable to all of our lives. And so let me share some principles through their experiences And then may God speak to you as to how to go ahead and apply it. So here we go. Let's go ahead and jump on in. How to maximize this fall together. Let's read about these four guys. And then let's see what they decide to do. And then let's go ahead and bring those decisions into our lives. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's start in verse 24. Verse 24, 2 Kings 6. So after a few things have already happened, Ben-Hadad, who's the king of Syria, who's also called the king of Aram, they were the same people back then. They mustered their entire army and they went up and besieged Samaria. Samaria, by this time, Israel was in two groups, not getting along. Samaria was a pocket of a lot of people of Israel. And this king, Ben-Hadad, he came and brought his army and surrounded the capital city. Kind of cut off the head, right? And so you surround the city and you besiege the city. So basically, they're starving them out. We're going to surround you. We're going to cut off your food supply. And we're basically going to wait until you die of hunger. And so it was working because the famine was getting more and more severe. So verse 25, well, how bad was it, Pastor Bob? Well, let me tell you, verse 25. And there was great famine in Samaria as they besieged the city. So bad that a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. There was no food at all, so you can go ahead and buy a donkey's head, way overpriced. And a fourth part of a cob, that's like a quart, of dove's doo-doo, that's really what it is in the Hebrew, right? Dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Listen, food was scarce. It was bad. It's not a place where you wanted to be, and there was no food, and people were panicking. Verse 26. So the king is distraught. Not only is he in this famine, he can't help his people. Take a look at verse 26. Now, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall of the capital of Samaria, as this famine was going on, a woman cried up to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "Hey, if the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? Listen, this is way over my pay grade. I can't help you. Only God is going to be able to get us out of this mess. And if God doesn't come through, we're all going to starve. If the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?" There's nothing to thresh and there's nothing in our wine presses. Verse 28. And the king asked her, "Well, so what's your trouble? Not that I can do anything about it." And she said, this is the, it just doesn't get any worse than this. She answered, "Well, this woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And on the next day, I said to her," well, now it's your turn, "'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." That's awful. It doesn't get any worse than this. And again, we talk about how to study the Bible at Grace Point Church. This is descriptive. This is not prescriptive, right? Just because it's in the Bible, just because it is an example, does not mean it's a good example. This is a bad example. There's nothing of God in this. God gave them, as God gives you, a volitional will. And many times we mess up because we make bad choices. And again, side sermon, when they're panicked, when they're full of fear, they make the bad choice. And we've got to watch that in our lives as well. You are not at your best when you're in panic mode, right? Well, that's what these guys were. And it was a mess. And so things were really bad and about to get worse. That's the setting, okay? Now let's enter these four guys. These four lepers become the heroes and they end up saving the whole city. Interesting story. You can read it for yourself if you choose to. Jump down to chapter 7, verse 3. 2 Kings 7, verse 3. Here we go. So now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? We're all just sitting around. and we're going to die sitting around. If we say, let us enter the city, go into the heart of the capital Samaria, the famine is in the city, there's no help there, and we're going to die there. But if we sit here, we're going to die here. So, now, come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. Go outside over the ridge to the enemy's camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live. If they kill us, I love this, we shall but die. We're going to die anyway. So we're going to go ahead and just go for it. What's the first decision that they did that I think can relate to the next 3 months of our spiritual journeys? Here it is right here. They decide to raise their involvement. You know, there's a lot of people that I meet that are waiting for God to move in their life, waiting for God to do something great in their lives. Oh, God, I'm here, I'm here. You know, we wait on God. Oftentimes, God's waiting on us. It's kind of like the waves that we saw. If I position away from the wave, I can't see the wave. I can't experience the wave. But surfers know you don't make waves, but you can position yourself in front of that wave and get on it and ride it. A lot of times we wait for God to do something and God's waiting on us. These four lepers are sitting by the city gate. Let's move. Let's get up. Let's do something to go ahead and potentially create some change and increase our involvement in the situation. And we're going to unpack this a little bit more. How does that relate to you? Again, I talked to our staff, and there's a lot of things going on. I'm going to give you a lot of trees this morning, a lot of things heading into the fall forest. But a lot of the opportunities are to give you an opportunity to raise your involvement for your spiritual health. You will not grow closer to God. God will not become larger in your life if you don't raise your involvement, all right? It doesn't happen by accident. So here's a couple of things to think about. A key to spiritual intimacy and influence. One baptism, many fillings. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but this kind of sets the stage of where we're going to go. Last Sunday was Baptism Sunday at Grace Point Church. We got a bunch of people getting baptized, and their water immersion, their water baptism, was a symbol of their spiritual immersion. Their spiritual baptism. So the water baptism is a symbol of their previous commitment to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, okay? Where they were forgiven, adopted, and where the Holy Spirit starts indwelling them from the inside out, starting to change them, all right? That's baptism. A key to spiritual momentum in your life is you need to have one baptism. You need to be spiritually baptized. And if you haven't, after you've been spiritually baptized, been water baptized, that's a great experience to symbolize that fact. But here's the deal. A lot of people, well, I became a Christian when I was 6, or I went to junior high camp, or I have this memory 10 years ago. Listen, that's not the end, that's the beginning. So when you are saved, when you are forgiven, adopted, when the Holy Spirit indwells you, that's not the end, that's the beginning. The Bible says one baptism, but also then many fillings of the Holy Spirit, many experiences of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple of verses to back this up. Here's the first one. For in one Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We've all become Christ followers. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. Friends, that's past tense. And I hope for many of you, most of you, your salvation experience is past tense. It's already happened. If it happens today, welcome to the party. Welcome to the family. But again, we were all baptized into one body. Let's talk about salvation, all right? Now let me give you another verse. This is Ephesians 5:18. This is present tense. Do not get drunk with wine. Don't let anything or anyone primarily influence you other than God Almighty. That's what this verse is going. But be filled, literally the same word drunk and filled is the same word in the Greek. But be filled, be fueled, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. So one baptism, many times you're letting God fill you, influence you, and move you as you walk with Him. Here's another verse similar to that. If we live by the Spirit, Let us, I love this, keep in step with the Spirit. It's kind of like waves are coming, opportunities are coming. You need to keep in step. You need to grow. You need to raise your involvement and experience the opportunities God has for you. So don't just lean on some prayer that you prayed some time ago. This fall, in the next 3 months, you have an opportunity to allow God to get closer to you and you to experience more of the power and the closeness of God. Well, how do you do that? Let me give you some help with that. So in our church, there it is, we call it a Spirit-filled plan. I'm going to give you some trees to consider as you walk into this fall journey. I'm going to give you six S's eventually. Let me start with the first three. Sunday services, small groups, and solitude. And possibly for some of you, you're thinking, well, I've done one, I've done two, I haven't done all three, but this is where I need to step up my involvement. One is Sunday services. Again, commit this fall to come to Grace Point Church and grow with us for worshiping and studying the Word of God. We got classes, we have groups, we got students, we got adults. But commit. Don't decide on Sunday morning after you wake up all tired if you're going to go to church. Because you won't come, right? So decide. Decide now. Commit the next 10 weeks. Matter of fact, Dave and I, we're going to start a brand new series on 1 Corinthians. We're calling it Messy Christianity. Man, was their church a mess, okay? And great practical stuff that'll hit all of our lives, young and old. And we're looking forward to do that. Commit to that. Sundays are essential to gather with God's people to grow spiritually. But you need more than that. Small groups. You've been around a church for a little while. Some of you, most of you, you've heard this before. Hebrews 10:24, let us encourage one another all the more. Let us not neglect the habit of meeting together, as is the habit of some, but meet together, and all the more as we see the day of the Lord getting closer. You need this. This is good stuff, but you need just as much somewhere where you're not staring at the back of someone's head. And you're just listening to a lecture, you need to go ahead and share together. Get in a circle. Get known. Be encouraged as you care, share, and pray for one another. That's what small groups are all about. We have, 40, 50 opportunities this fall for you to find one. And I know our student ministry also is embedded in this important value of not just these one-sided conversations, but you need to get together and grab a hold of each other. That's what we're doing. I want to go ahead, though, and plug the solitude thing. We don't talk too much about this. I plug the other two. Solitude is not you in a crowd, not you even in a small group. Solitude is you and God alone. You need that. Matter of fact, you need that desperately. Jesus modeled all three of these. He went to the temple for worship and for teaching. He met with his disciples. He had a small group. But you know what? At Mark 1:35, he often in the mornings went out by himself to meet with his heavenly Father to pray and to reflect, to retool his life. If Jesus needed it, we do. I challenge you, a fall challenge. This fall, at least five mornings a week, all right? Get up and spend 5 to 7 minutes. That's really all I do before I do the study and do all the other stuff. 5 to 7 minutes just with God and me for my spiritual health and growth, all right? If you want to do more, great. But I do think the greatest obstacle for many people for consistency is too much quantity, all right? Oh, I got to spend an hour with God. Well, good luck with that. And you might do it once, but you're not going to do it consistently. But listen, inch by inch, you can go ahead and walk a mile. I'll encourage you, start there and see where God's going to go. Let me give you a couple quick verses on this one. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I get that. School's crazy. Work is crazy. Kids are crazy. Everything's crazy, okay? But you need I need a still moment in the morning before things go nuts to be still and know that God is still God. I like the way the Message translations of Psalms 46:10. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your God. Above politics, above the problems, above your emails, above everything. Just stop and listen. Here's another quick verse on this. Psalms 143, verse 8. This is a great verse to write down, even pray in your morning. Solitude times with God. God, let me hear you in the morning. Let me be reminded of your steadfast love. For in you I trust. I don't trust in my finances. I don't trust in whatever that I might or might not have today. I trust in you. Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. That's good stuff. That can help rewire you for whatever happens your day. And I'd strongly encourage you to raise your involvement in one, two, or three of these, depending on where you're at this morning. Those balance each other out, all right? And you need all three. Let's go ahead and move on. Let me give you a couple more thoughts related to possibilities of involvement. Along with our small group, we have classes coming up this fall and events. So again, you're not going to remember all these. We got them on our website. We got them in your bulletin. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of throw out some trees to you. So don't try to remember all this stuff. But we do have a marriage class starting this Wednesday for 7 weeks. If you want to take a break from small groups, be in a marriage class. Dave is teaching this one. And it's a great class. It's a DVD taught class by a guy named Gary Thomas. And it's really excellent. We've taught this now for several years, and it's great teaching, great discussion, and a great opportunity. That's Wednesday nights. I'm starting this coming Saturday. It's not really a small group where you kind of unpack the sermon stuff, but it's a manhood class. I'm doing a 10-week study on God's view of masculinity. I've taught this over the years, and it's been a couple years. I'm teaching it again, and I'd encourage you guys, if you haven't found anywhere else to plug in, plug in with me on Saturday mornings. We're going to start meeting 7 o'clock. It's in your bulletin and one of the larger classrooms over to my left. And then, gals, experiencing God class. Matter of fact, Rhonda gave me this book. It's a topical study of Moses' journey through his challenges that God walked him through. And it's an excellent study. And a guy named Henry Blackaby wrote this some years ago. So that's Experiencing God class starting Thursday morning and Thursday night. This Thursday, there was a big launch last Thursday. A lot of gals were traveling, couldn't make that, all that. We'll have well over 100 or so gals doing this. But Ron has said this Thursday, you need to already have week one read, okay? So you got to go get your book after this one and do that. And Ron told me to make that plug. Good to go. So those are classes, okay? Here's some other trees coming up. Here are some events. The core classes. I'm not going to talk too much about that. We have some core classes. I'll tell you more about that later on. They're going to be monthly classes. They're offered in the mornings. But those help you connect with our church, grow with your Lord, serve well somewhere, and learn how to better share your faith. So there's some core classes. You'll hear more about that. Let me talk to you about some events, though. I told you this is kind of like a fall vision thing. There they are. Classes and events. And again, some of these are new, some of these are not so new. Laugh lunches. To get involved, you're going to have to get off your couch and do something. And laugh lunches are life after 50 lunches. Once a month, Rick and Kim Huss and a few others of our leaders of our church, they're hosting some lunches for people 50 and over. And so I'd encourage you to find somewhere. This is just fellowship and fun stuff. And the first one is Sunday, September 20th, after the second service. And I think Rick and Kim are going to host that in their backyard, the first one. Men's breakfast. Guys, we have monthly men's breakfast to get involved, get to know some other guys, and eat lots of bacon, yeah? And men's breakfast is 9:26. That's our first of the fall. And every one of these, we have special guests, special speakers. And the first one is a friend of mine, Pastor Curtis, from God's Extended Hand, which is a homeless ministry downtown. I've invited Curtis to come and share with our guys and how God has shown up when he needed God the most. He's gone through a ton of experiences, a ton of challenges, and God is very large in Curtis's life, and you're going to hear his story. So that's coming. We got a dads and kids hike October 3rd. We're going to go to Potato Chip Rock. If you want to do that, you can Google Potato Chip Rock. It's a good photo op out there. We're going to be doing that. And
I don't know if you know this one yet, a Faith in Action Sunday event, getting involved. This is going to be another opportunity for us to basically make a splash in our community. You'll hear more about that as well, but that Sunday, like we've done in the past, we're not going to go to church. We're going to go be a church somewhere else, and we're going to meet here, have one short, one service, one less than an hour deal. Then we're all going to go with our shirts on, over 700, whatever we can muster, and we're going to go and make a difference where the community wants us to. We basically, Marieline called up the community leader and said, we want to be a church where we're going to give up a Sunday and invest on our own dime to go make a difference and meet a need that you want done. And they really couldn't believe it. Matter of fact, they want to come here in a couple weeks and say thanks. I mean, is this really true? And we're going to go and we're going to, there's a bigger park that they don't have a budget to weed and to fix. We're all going to do that together. Good stuff. We're also going to have a marriage conference on October 17th right here, a national simulcast from Family Life. And we're very excited about that too. So events are coming. But listen, you need to be involved in some, not all. If you do all this, you'll die, okay? Then our insurance goes up. It's just a mess, right? So don't do all this stuff. Just find a few trees and say, you know what? That's the one. So do a few, do one, but do something, all right? Good job. All right, let's go ahead and keep going. Let's go back to the four guys. So let's get back to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 5. I think for some of you, this second decision is probably the hardest one of the three. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 5. Here we go. So they get off where they're just sitting, waiting to die, waiting for something to happen. We've got to go do something. So they go over this ridge and they head to the enemy's camp, all right? So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp, obviously, they couldn't see it where they were perched on the city gate. Behold, there was no one there. They expected all the enemy people there and all that. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariot and horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel must have hired against us these other kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come against us. So the Syrian army, they took off. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. They literally left everything behind. Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, and man, they had a party. They ate and they drank. They carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they went and hid everything that they couldn't go ahead and eat and wear at that time. Then they came back and entered another tent and did the same thing and carried off those things, and they went and hid that as well. What, picture the moment. So these guys are lepers and they're starving lepers. It's a mess, right? So they go and they kind of just drag themselves over the ridge. They're going to fall at the feet of their enemy. The enemy's not there, but all their stuff is there. So they go into one tent and there's gold and silver and there's clothes and there's wine and there's turkey legs and there's everything. And then they're just stuffing themselves. This is awesome. And so then they can't eat it all. They can't wear it all. So they hide what they find. But then they realize there's a ton of tents. They go to the next tent. And they're stuffing, 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 stuffing. What are they doing? They are recognizing their blessings. Here's something that I think is a challenge that I've seen over the years. Many people waste their lives waiting to rejoice until God does something more. What has God already done for you? How has God already been good to you? Here's the deal. God has been good to you. But oftentimes, the glass is always half what? Half empty. And oh, but God, you're not doing this. What has God already done? Here's the deal. If you're not thankful, if you do not see and experience a grateful heart based on the goodness of God, you're not going to export it. You're not going to share because you're just one more grumbling person. And you need to recognize, before we launch into the fall, how has God been good to you? And I know your life is hard. I know your life has a lot of things you want to change. And keep praying and keep waiting on God. But what has he already done that you can say, God, I choose to rejoice? If these guys didn't recognize the blessings, they would have not gotten to decision number three. Some of you are not going to get to decision number three because you're griping at God. Because he's not fast enough. He's not doing enough to satisfy you. So how has God been good? Don't wait for Thanksgiving in November. Have Thanksgiving this week as you prep yourself, position yourself to have the fall that God wants you to. Well, let's go ahead and move on, though. Here's the third and final decision. The decision to refuse to be self-absorbed. I mean, these people had turkey legs in their mouth and they're wearing all this clothes and they're drinking and they're having a party. And they come to a conclusion. Take a look at verse 9 in chapter 7. Then they said to one another, that's probably what they did because they got turkey in their mouth, right? And all that. We are not doing right. This day is a day of what? I'd circle that. This is the day of good news. This is great news. We are so blessed. If we are silent about this, if we keep hoarding and hiding it, if we are silent and we wait even until the morning light, listen, punishment will overtake us. This is bad. Now, therefore, come. Let us go and tell our people, the king's household back in Samaria. I love this, verse 10. So they came and they left all their stuff. So they came and they called to the gatekeepers of Samaria, where they used to be, of the city. And they told them, listen, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one to be seen or heard of. They weren't there. Nothing but the horses and donkeys and tents as they were. Verse 11, then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told within the king's household. So the king got word of what these four lepers were telling him. Verse 12, and the king rose in the night and said to his servants, I will tell you what's really going on, what the Syrians really have done. They know we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking when they come out of the city, thinking that we've evacuated, then we shall take them alive and take over their city. And one of his servants said, well, you know, let us at least scout it out. Let some men take five of the remaining horses, seeing that those who are left here will fare like, you know, again, the whole multitude who have already perished. They're going to die anyway. And let us go and see what's going on here. These four lepers risk going to the town, going to the cabin and say, listen, we got good news. There's stuff over there and let's go grab it together. And the king's thinking, ah, it's a trap. Oh, it's too good to be true. And then someone says, well, king, you know, we might as well just at least try it. So let's send a scout. Let's go ahead and just kind of see if it's really true. Friends, let me tell you, that's what happens spiritually all the time. You have good news. Jesus saves. There's power. There's character, godly character waiting to save your marriages, save your lives, save you from the pressures of high school and college decisions and all that stuff. There's good news, but a lot of people have so much religious baggage, they don't believe the good news. So they're kind of what I would call window shoppers. They're not buying it, but they're just kind of looking through the window, seeing if it's true. We have window shoppers at Grace Point Church. My passion is for the window shoppers of today to be worshipers of tomorrow. But we all start there. I get that. But here's the deal. These guys refuse to be self-absorbed. This is not right, as they have stuffed more turkey into their mouths, stuffed more gold cups into their pockets, and buried the rest. We must share with others. Again, that's their story. Let me give you a few helpful challenges. Hopefully they'll turn into decisions for you so you can go ahead and follow their example. Let me give you a couple things. Again, what we have here, a spirit-filled plan of involvement includes, we already talked about that, Sunday, small group, and solitude. And then we got two core classes coming up, connect and grow. Here's the deal. All of that is all about you. It really is. You can do all that because you want to grow. You want to have more of the love, joy, peace, patience of God. You want to have more blessings come your way. So you can do that, all right? But now, the third decision is to refuse to be what? Self-absorbed, to make it all about you. So some of us, we need to turn the corner of not just wearing a bib where we eat and stuff ourselves, hoping we grow, but now we got to go ahead and put on an apron. And this is the next one. Serve others. Let me tell you, your maturity is stuck if you don't serve. And if every meeting you go to this fall is all about someone being nice to you, someone helping you grow, someone coming through for you, if it's all about your encouragement, your maturity is stuck. You got to find a place to serve. And there's all kinds of places in this church. There's all kinds of places outside this church. But serve somewhere. Matter of fact, all kinds of verses there. Philippians 2. Don't look out for your own interests only, but also for the interests of others. 1 Peter 4:10. Whatever gifts God's given you, give to others and serve them. I'd encourage you to do that. And we actually have a class called Serve 301 we're going to offer in November where we can help you serve smart. I don't want you serving somewhere where you don't get excited about it. God wants to match your desires with opportunities to serve. And matter of fact, one of the plugs that I'd like to make is for our children's ministry. We have a lot of people serving on Sunday. We can always use more, but I think Gabby says, I'm humbled that so many people are wanting to serve on Sunday. We need some people to serve on Wednesday night for the Awana program. We have so many kids in this community and in this church that we get to disciple on Wednesday nights. And we need a few more leaders and helpers to go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity. But here's the deal. If you hate kids, don't do that, okay? That's what I mean. We want you to serve smart. We want you not just to be fruitful. We want you to be fulfilled when you serve. I enjoy it. I'm tired. Yeah, but it's a good tired. I did it because it was in line with my desires and my gifting. We want to help you do that. Don't wait for November. Start serving somewhere now. And I talked with Brent, our high school ministry. We are so proud of the students here that are not just here just for them, but they have a heart for their schools. They have a heart to serve and make a difference. And so again, this is for everybody, all right? So that's serve. Let me give you another one. Share with others. I think the two primary ways of the three that we're talking about so far is to not be self-absorbed. So serve somewhere. Quit making it all about you. But then also share with other people about your faith. For some people, that's the hardest thing. You'd rather use your hands and feet, but you refuse to use your mouth. Listen to me. Every single one of you heard from someone else's mouth that Jesus loves them. We talked about this last couple of weeks. I'd encourage you to learn and be more comfortable with the gospel. Learn to be able to share the gospel and identify with your friends and family that you found a church and you're growing. You sure have a lot of work left to do. We know that. But tell them that. You know, listen, I haven't arrived, but I'm on the right path. And I want you to know how much God loves you and has a purpose for your life. Share with other people. Matter of fact, I want to share with you one quick verse here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You don't have to turn there just for the sake of time. Let me read this for you. This is one of my favorite passages about outreach. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Great passage. All this is from God, who through Jesus Christ has reconciled us back to himself. And now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God is reconciling the world, bringing the world back to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to his church the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we, as ambassadors for Christ, we are making God's appeal to you. We implore you, be reconciled to God. Let me give you another verse. This is over in Matthew 9. And I think that God wants us to be an answer to this prayer. See, Jesus realized that his followers have a tendency, you and I and they, to be self-absorbed. Because we got enough problems, right? And but this is what Jesus says. Matthew 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. When you see your school, when you see all the stuff that you see, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers are few. Therefore, guys, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I believe God wants Grace Point Church to be an answer to that prayer in our surrounding communities. May it not be us four no more. Oh, I found a nice church. I hope we don't get any larger because I've been part of larger churches because I really want us to listen. We can grow warmer and larger at the same time because people need the Lord. So we need to serve them and we must share our faith. What God has begun to do in our lives with others. I am so glad for Ken Morris, John Hawkins, Seth Gatchel, guys early on in my life that risked talking to Bobby Johnson about a God that I did not know yet. I want you to be part of other people's stories as well. All right, here's one more. I told you there's six, and here's one last one, all right? Now, I'm really going to start meddling. So the first three, Sunday, small groups, and solitude, that's about your growth. The last three is about not being all about you, not being self-absorbed. Serve other people, share with others, and the last one, according to God's word, is sacrificially give. I would encourage you strongly to take a good look, not at Bob's thoughts, but look at the Bible. Because basically the Bible says, don't let local churches rely on bingo, okay? But basically, believers that choose to be sacrificial givers. Let me tell you something. Our church is, 23 years old, something like that. We have never had a year, nor do we have a year now, where we've never exceeded our expenses. We've always had gifts and tithes and offerings above our expenses, and our expenses go up every year. And this year, we're still above. But let me tell you why. It's not because trust fund is out there. It's not because avenue of revenue is out there. It's because the people of this church and the people who have been part of this church, they sacrificially give the first fruits of their lives. I'm challenging you. Find a church that you can call home and then sacrificially give to its budget and to its mission. In fact, that's as old as the Bible. Let me tell you something that will happen, because this message is all about what? Getting God off the ridge and getting him into your life. And the more close you are to God, the larger you're going to see him to be, and basically the more you're going to sleep at night because he's bigger than your problems. But Matthew 6 is an interesting verse 19 and 20. Let me read this for you. Did you know that your giving is connected to your growing? And Matthew 6, verse 19 says this. It says, do not lay up yourselves treasures on this planet, on earth, where moth and rust just destroy and where thieves break in and steal. No, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can touch and where thieves do not break in and steal. And this is verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice, where your treasure is, where you put your treasure, your heart will be. That's future. If you want to be closer to God, you want to have more of a heart for God, invest in God's kingdom. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there's several principles, larger principles in the Bible. And let me just give you three. What, where, and how. The what is, listen, most people tip. Most people treat churches like they treat restaurants, right? Don't do that. The Bible term, Old and New Testament, is what? Some of you know that. It's tithe. Literally, the word is tenth. Not 20th, not 30th, not 50th. God could have done anything he want. He pretty much said tenth is good enough. Deuteronomy 4:23 says, the purpose of tithing, giving God tenth off the top, is to prove that Jesus Christ, that God is your Lord. Listen to me. You cannot be shackled with materialism if you're a tither. You can't. Because every time you invest in God's kingdom, you're saying no to something else, and you're breaking free from something that basically wants to own you. So I would encourage you to check that out and you'll be closer to God. There's more verses on that. But here's the deal with that. Some people, I tithe, Bob, but I give to all kinds of places. Did you know that in the Bible, Old and New Testament, there was no tithing that basically went everywhere? People tithe to their local place of worship. Old and New Testament, that's just where they did. There were tithes and offerings. When you give a tithe, your first fruits, you give to a local church so that your church can continue to be what God's called us to be. But then there's giving on top of that for those needs that you sponsor kids like Ron and I do and do all kinds of other things. But you are the church. You don't go to church. You are the church. So I challenge you, somewhere, somehow, of those six S's, where do you need to step up your involvement? Let me tell you, what is to sacrificially give, all right? And that will break materialism's hold on us. And then where? Here. So that we can go ahead and join together and do what God wants done. And then how to give. Give expectantly. When you give the way God wants you to give, you can expect God to take care of you. But also give without grumbling. You know what the Bible says? If you give it with grumbling hearts, you don't get any credit for that, okay? God loves a cheerful giver. So keep it if you're griping about it. God doesn't need that, but you need to give so you can grow. That's up to you and God. So that's my pitch. Here's the deal. We don't talk a lot about money here. It's been over a year since I said anything that long about finances. We don't even pass baskets here. We have these boxes around the back. People visit here. It's like, well, how do you do that? You know, many people in their church understand the need and the responsibility to be sacrificial givers. So many people give online, many people give here. But I would not be a faithful pastor to you if I didn't include all six of these so that you can get before the Lord and say, God, how can I raise the level of my involvement so I can position myself according to your word to go ahead and experience you in a greater way? All right? Let me give you one last picture, then I'll be done. You know, something about this buffalo. You know where the buffalo came into? That's campsite number 10. I mean, we were meeting this buffalo. I hadn't touched him. The buffalo went right by me. He parked himself right in our campsite. Well, I thought, man, that'll preach. You know, that's where buffalo, that's where God wants to be. Listen to me. If you don't want God to meddle with your life, don't put him in the middle of your life. Keep him on that ridge. But if you keep him on the ridge, he will stay small in your life. But when you let him close, he's going to camp right in the middle of your life. And he's going to want to prompt change. We don't like change. You and I don't like change. But that's why we go to God in his word and say, God, I want you to win. It's not going to be comfortable this fall to let God change some of your values, some of the of your time use. But for many of you, for all of you, I pray, for many of you, I hope you'll be closer to God now in 3 months than you are today. It won't be automatic. The decision is yours. You bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. This is a fall challenge. I can't wait for this fall to unfold with the people of God that you've assembled at Grace Point Church. But Father, when it comes down to it, we want you to direct our steps. We want to not run ahead of you, and we don't want to run behind you. We want to walk with you. Lead us, God. We welcome you into our homes, into our campsites, into our lives. And we want you to win this fall. Be Lord this fall of Grace Point Church. And change lives in this church. And as we serve others, change lives around the world. Father, I pray for discernment for these folks here. That all the trees that we talked about, all the trees that are available to them, God, I pray before they touch any tree, before they engage any group, that they would pray. That, God, you would lead them to the right opportunity so they can go ahead and be the people you've called them to be this fall. Thank you for this church. Thank you for an opportunity to grow. And may us not miss the waves ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen.